This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If the investigation, a proper, neutral investigation, would prove that the mistake is due to our airline, I will stand up and I will talk out loud and say it's our mistake. Because everybody makes mistakes.
All right, Egyptian Air, mystery solved, but not completely. Seems there was a fire on that flight and nothing seemed amiss beforehand, although they spoke with an air traffic controller, the pilots, before the flight supposedly was in pieces over the Mediterranean. The search is on in a sub to get that black box to find out as much as possible. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know, why is it when and of course we think terror, when planes drop out of the sky, it just sends shivers up my spine. Yet so many terrible things happen to people every single day on this planet, but they're looking for clues, and again, it's the recorder they need, so they're in the subs for 804. They're seeing life vests and the chairs and, sadly, body parts, plane wreckage, personal belongings, but they're scouring the Mediterranean for the fuselage and the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder. That is what they really, really need. The Egyptian president, Abdullah Fattah el-Sisi, announced that they were going to deploy the subs on Sunday and that this is a sub that can go down almost 10,000 feet. They haven't said what caused the Airbus A320 with 66 souls on board to smash into the sea. Hours after the flight disappeared, they were talking about would it be an act of terror was to blame more than a mechanical failure. They're being cautious about that. They don't want to speculate, and they're trying to really nail it. That's why they're panicked about the box. Get the box, get the box. They're saying no theory has really been ruled out. No group, of course, has claimed responsibility. And you had hundreds of mourners that filled into a memorial gathering for the plane's pilot Sunday. His father had some pretty brutal words for whoever was responsible. He said, "Whoever took away my only son, may God take the light out of their eyes." Screamed it at the memorial that they were having, you know, that was playing out. And the words of a sheikh reciting the Quran played out from a speaker at a military mosque in eastern Cairo. He was yelling as well. The pilot had more than 6,200 hours of flying under his belt, they say. 6,200 hours. And you had other citizens, too. So, I mean, when you had different citizens, you had 15 French citizens, you had a baby, you had passengers from Iraq and England and Belgium and Saudi Arabia and Canada and Algeria, you know, kind of a smattering from different places. So the key is that voice recorder. That is the key. There have been electrical problems with window anti-ice heaters. That's happened before. They had, in fact, replaced windshields in all 320s in the U.S. Did Egypt follow the same FAA guidelines? Who knows if they did or not? There's nothing to implicate the flight or security boarding that flight so far at this point. So they're searching. By the way, Greece, France, and the U.S. and some other nations are also out there helping. Whenever there's a crash, that's what happens. A lot of hands throw in. And then they're talking about this air or this oil slick they found as an indication of where the plane might have crashed. Now, the airline, because they have to be careful about this, they're saying they're going to take time to retrieve body parts and conduct DNA tests. Families were asked to provide as much information as possible. And then the debris and the parts and all of that get taken to a military base and then to the Cairo International Airport. That's just terrible to hear that, you know. I mean, just awful. So they've got this investigative squad that, you know, has formed, and they're going to just have to piece it all together. That's what you do when you have a crash. But they definitely have the debris. I mean, because you can see the debris where it's all the things I mentioned on planes, and they're going to lay all of it out and figure it out and look at the passenger manifest and go through it that way so that they can piece it out right. Coming up on this hour of America Time, I'm going to introduce you to someone really, really cool. Her name is Karen Cortell Reisman, and she is a relative of Einstein's. Can you imagine being a relative of Einstein's? I mean, he's the most famous person in your family. Think about that for a second. So Einstein's your cousin, and you think of Einstein, and it's mind-boggling when you do. Every day somewhere I see either a quote, a replica of him. I was just at an arboretum a few weeks ago, and there was a bench with Einstein on it, like a full life-size figure that people were sitting next to him and posing. Einstein is very prevalent. His quotes, his work, all of that. And so when you think of iconic people, who's the most iconic dead person? And there are a lot of people you could put on the list. A lot of times celebrities who died too young, maybe a politician, although I would say we'd be hard pressed, wouldn't we, the way all of us are so cynical about what's happening in politics and what's happened in the past. Einstein absolutely is on an iconic list, and to be related to Einstein, wow, that is just crazy. And to know something handed down pretty personal about Einstein, just to know, you know, even just the basics of how he thought and how he lived is, I think, just completely fascinating. Also, we're going to talk to Ambassador Jordan about what happened on 9/11 and what it was like on 9/11 and remembering the beginnings of our fight against the evil, elusive, and frustrating, using that word, terrorism, in trying to track down who did what to who. And he's written a book, and it's pretty fascinating stuff. What he had to go through, what it was like, you know, all of that. And as an ambassador and being put in the role that he was put in, pretty intense stuff. It's like we think of the ambassador, Chris Stevens, and oh my gosh, what happened to him? This is so tragic in Benghazi. Coming up, little odds and ends and much more from the acting world on Bernie Sanders.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit-selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity shut off 9 times, but I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame.
Burning flame. There are a lot of people that have the desire to see Bernie Sanders in the White House and are not giving up the fight. And they're not just saying, okay, it's Hillary Clinton, that's the way it is. And so we're going to go along with that. Not so fast, say several people, including Mark Ruffalo, for one, who's a well-known Hollywood actor. He was just in the movie Spotlight that was nominated. He was nominated for an Oscar. Has, I think, a really interesting choice of some of what he's been in and involved in. And he's throwing his weight. Remember, he was the Incredible Hulk, too. His weight, the way of Bernie Sanders. Here's what he had to say.
It ain't over till it's over, and what Bernie's done is, I'm waiting to see Hillary move a little bit more to adopt some of Bernie's positions.
There you go. So, it ain't over till it's over, and that's what Bernie Sanders is saying, that I'm not going away, Ms. Clinton. In fact, Saturday Night Live did a really funny parody, or I'll say sketch is a better way to put that. You know, they've got a Hillary Clinton character, and Bernie Sanders is pretty funny, too. And if you think about it, and in this skit, they talked about, you know, Hillary Clinton talked about, oh, I won, but I didn't win. And, you know, it's that whole superdelegate phenomenon. And Bernie Sanders saying that he thinks that there's no question what's going on with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they're throwing shade his way, and that if he were elected president, he would boot her immediately. That would be one of the first moves that he would make that she would be out as DNC chair if he was the winner because of some of what's happened along the way? Yeah, it's called politics. You mean somebody is swaying favor in the direction of one politician? Not a shock, right? Sadly, not a shock. All right, let's go out to Grim. Hello, Grim.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you feel like a rose. In these days are them there that feel like cousin it.
Love it.
I thought you would. You know, I have been, Kate, going to try and do this three-part written epilogue instead of off the cuff as I've been doing lately this week for quite some time. And mail it to you tomorrow. But
awesome. I'll look for it.
But anyhow, to start off, there would be times, Kate, I think it would be best if I were sponsored to have my own show, and I'd call it the Grim Truth. But as a soundbite example, I just barely began to watch 60 Minutes tonight with Miss O'Donnell interviewing Valerie Jarrett, Obama's chief advisor. And just as a man that had to out of disgust because of a bunch of PhDs each attempting to prove he could pee one board higher than the other and how to save the Apollo 13 crew, my dad stated to them, when y'all get done with arguing with each other, maybe we can get down with actually taking steps with each problem that arises as they occur individually so we can save them. Now, as proof, astronaut Fred Hayes said as he was shaking my hand at MTF a couple of months later after their safe return, I just wanted to shake the hand of the son of the man that saved my life. When I was about 11, I can hear my dad say, if we were watching Mrs. Janet's interview, burn, baby, burn. He'd turn to me and say, I'm not judging, son, just stating the fact.
Wow.
Now, for years, I'd contemplate what he meant. But it only comes with age and wisdom that you understand. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, yeah, no kidding. I agree.
In a lot of ways, he expected me to learn or already understand what he was saying, I should say. It was kind of harsh, you know, him being an engineer. But, you know, that you were talking about, I got a great idea because I've been researching that all last week. What be in a name would be a great show you could do. You were just talking about, see, my short term just burnt out.
I understand that totally.
Control, Alt, Delete. But anyhow, you were just mentioning somebody in their last name. Einstein.
Yeah, Einstein.
Einstein. Well, even in his name, you know, there's such a thing as proper names. And I was trying my best to research your name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was going to ask you on air, how do you spell it? With a C or a K? Because if you spell it with a K, its origination is from Shakespeare's play in The Shrewd.
Yes, I spell it with a K.
Now, if you would spell it with a C, you can go even further back. But the problem with your first name is that it being spelled with a K won't go back as far because when you start getting back to biblical times, Kathy means to leave or to... the Greek means to guide or to leave. I really kind of forgot, but I think it's something like that. But Catherine, you can go all the way back to the Tsar period with Sikhs.
Mm-hmm.
You got a whole lot. Now, as far as my first name, it goes back to creation. But, of course, my first name, you know, there's billions of us out there. It'd be kind of like, you know, the Smiths, you know. And I got to thinking, this is kind of funny. I don't know if anybody's out there got the name, but it would be weird if it would be Smith, Mark Smith.
That would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, you could create a whole episode because look at Madoff. What was in that name?
Because yeah, Madoff. Proper exactly.
Names, proper names have to do with, you know, what your heritage is. Like Shoemaker was a shoemaker.
Right. Isn't that crazy to think about that? You're right.
Well, that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about Einstein, because for simple, Einstein was an arguer. In German, it means to argue and stand
right.
up for what you're arguing about.
Right.
So imagine the mental turmoil Einstein always had.
Yeah.
Kind
yep, of, it's so true.
Kind of explains the picture of him looking like he stuck his finger in a light socket.
It does, doesn't it?
It's just weird little things like this. But
yeah, you're right.
But episode tomorrow, or two, that I'm going to talk about will blow your mind away, and it has to do, I hope you watch that movie.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was just telling somebody else about that movie. I did watch that movie.
It was pretty graphic toward the end. Like I said, it ain't for the squeamish at heart toward
mm-mm.
the very end.
No.
But just a little preview. It's going to lead into the fact that what the good Lord said, that there's nothing new under the sun.
Right. We're reinventing the same things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll lead into that tomorrow night when I call in and give you my script from tomorrow night. But
I love that. I love that. Grim, thanks so much for the call. Always interesting to hear what's rattling around in Grimm's mind, and yours too. That's why the mailbag is always so full each and every day. When I check my email, I can't believe how many emails we have. So remember, if you're thinking of something, it's noodling around, bugging you, whatever, shoot it to me, americatonight.net, or you can always bang on the digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. It's just that easy, right? So we get ready to come up with some pretty cool people that I'm going to introduce you to that I already mentioned. And the Einstein thing is pretty interesting, because I really wrestle with that. Who's the most iconic person? And like I said, your mind goes toward actors a little bit, but Einstein would be somebody that you would that would come up. Most iconic dead person that you can think of, that I mean, that just everywhere you go, there's something about Einstein. You can go into a card shop, you can go to a bookstore. I went to an arboretum and I saw Einstein. His references are everywhere. Hang with us.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you are having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts, available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Join me, George Norrie, at Joshua Tree, California, June 3rd through the 6th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. Featuring Graham Hancock, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and Eric Von Doniken, and so many more. For information, go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com, or 760-365-8371.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
During 9/11, can you imagine what that was like? And so many questions. I'm sure he's always barraged by questions that he's finally put a book together, and I don't say finally, but he's put a book together called Desert Diplomat that takes you through the really that entire process, which must have been absolutely crazy. Thanks so much for coming on, Ambassador. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Kate.
So what, you know, when you go back to, just let's do this right at the top, because I know you do this in your book. Take us back to 9/11, and what was the first communications that you got from the White House, or what you knew and what you started to find out about what was happening in the United States?
Sure. Well, first of all, I was actually in Dallas on 9/11. I ended up arriving in Riyadh about 2 weeks later. But
wow.
I was waiting for my confirmation hearing, which was scheduled in the Senate at that time to be sometime in January. So I was actually at a foundation board meeting in Dallas for my farewell meeting of that board. And a member of the board came in early that morning and reported the attacks on the Twin Towers. And I will have to say that I knew at that moment my life had changed forever. So what happened next was I tried to get in touch with the State Department. Lines were clogged. I finally got in touch with Bill Burns, the Deputy Secretary of State, and they told me basically to stand by, and we ended up getting my confirmation hearing accelerated with the Senate. The head of the confirmation process was at that time Senator Joe Biden, and he agreed to accelerate our confirmation hearing so that I could get out to my post.
So then you get, that happens, and you hightail it to Riyadh, and what were the first couple of steps that you had to do?
Well, I had to find out if the Saudis were friend or foe.
Yeah.
And because 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, there was some doubt about that. They had been overall pretty good allies up to that point, even though we disagreed with a lot of their religious extremist views. But we really had to start finding out through our intelligence sources and otherwise what we could rely on the Saudis for and what we couldn't. So one of my first calls I paid was to the governor of Riyadh, Prince Salman bin Abdulaziz, who now is actually the king of Saudi Arabia. And his first response to me was that this could not have been Saudis who engaged in the hijacking, because Saudis would never do that, and it had to have been an Israeli plot. Well, of course, I found that completely unacceptable. A number of other senior royals also made some of those same statements. And fortunately, I was able to confer with Prince Saud, the Saudi foreign minister, who was a very close contact. And he made it clear that he understood what had happened, that indeed they realized that these were Saudis, and that they had a serious extremism problem in their midst that they had to aggressively deal with. And so we spent then much of the next 2 years dealing with it.
So when you come to that conclusion, and of course all the world was looking there, I can imagine you were on speed dial just about in every different direction, certainly not what you were expecting when you took over the post. So how did you sort this out as a brand new ambassador?
Well, I got some very good advice. I paid courtesy calls on all of the other ambassadors in Riyadh from other countries. And one of them from one of the Gulf countries said, a good ambassador has 4 ears and only half of a tongue. I took that as a suggestion that I keep my mouth shut for a while and listen pretty hard. And that's exactly what I did. We also, of course, had very active intelligence sources through our own government and through our allies. And I spent a good deal of time dealing with George Tenet of the CIA, Bob Mueller of the FBI, and trying to get information from the Saudis. One of the problems we had with the Saudis was that we would identify suspects and they would go pick them up, but they wouldn't share with us the information they gained from those suspects. They wouldn't let us sit in on the interrogations. They wouldn't give us what we call pocket litter or the contents of the hard drives of the computers. And so this was a kind of a game of keep away in a way. And it wasn't, I think, that the Saudis were trying to collude with these people so much as they were very jealous of their own sovereignty and their own prerogatives. And so we spent much of the next 6 or 8 months trying to penetrate this wall of ambiguity and opaqueness and made some progress. And so I think we finally got to the point where they would share information with us. Then we had the problem of our own government institutions not sharing with each other. I would go to the Saudi government, the Ministry of Interior, and say, we asked you for this information 2 months ago. Where is it? And they would say, oh, we gave that to the FBI 3 weeks ago. And the FBI had never told the CIA. So we would have these almost comical, if it wasn't so tragic, episodes of dysfunction in our own government. At the same time, we're criticizing the Saudis for being dysfunctional with us.
Yeah. Once, of course, all that happened and they were, and you're describing that information, once, and they go and pick them up, once you know it's Saudi nationals, also that there was a lot of blowback in this country. And you mentioned the great relationships in the past with the Saudis. Where do you think we are now as you sit from your seat and you watch what happened during the time you were ambassador to now with what's going on in Saudi Arabia?
Sure. Well, at the time I arrived, and as you, in the blowback that you mentioned, our relationship with the Saudis really was on life support. And I was one of the ones trying to administer the CPR, I guess. We made some progress. And so by 2003 and on, we were sharing intelligence very aggressively. working shoulder to shoulder and fighting terrorism. I think the relationship has now gone back into a more difficult stage. The Saudis and the Emiratis and many of the Gulf countries are quite angry at our administration for throwing Hosni Mubarak over the side of Egypt. They wonder if the same thing could happen to them. They are angry at the supposed red lines this administration set with Bashar Assad in Syria and then didn't follow through with enforcement. They're angry at the way we've dealt with Libya, with ISIS, and especially now, of course, with Iran in the nuclear negotiations. So the relationship is tense. There are not developed personal relationships at the senior levels between the Saudis and this American administration. And so I think all of this is really converging right now to make it a pretty tough time.
Yeah, how important is, as you saw because you were ambassador, how important is it to have those personal relationships? Because, you know, we'll have people that call the show, and I get it because we'll start to talk about the Middle East, and I call it the quicksand of the Middle East because of all the things that we're seeing. And they'll say, well, let's just bail out on the whole situation. Why do we care? Just keep them at bay. It doesn't matter. Why does it matter to keep up relations with the Saudis?
Well, first of all, let me talk about the personal relationships, and I think it's very important to develop these personal relationships. We saw, for example, in the first Gulf War, how personal relationships were able to assemble a very strong coalition that even brought the Russians into fighting Saddam Hussein. We saw personal relationships help when the Berlin Wall went down and when relationships with the Russians were extremely important. We saw it even in our invasion of Iraq in 2003. President Bush really bonded with King Abdullah at that point, who was actually Crown Prince at the time. Mm-hmm. And this allowed us to have access to air bases, to routes, border crossings, and much more cooperation than the Saudis even publicly acknowledged. So the personal relationships do count. Now, why is it important? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the joint combating of terrorism has to be accomplished with allies on the ground in the Middle East. We have to have allies. We certainly have no major ally other than the Saudis right now in the Middle East. And they're the ones who are leading the charge in fighting the terrorist elements that we confront and who are sworn to attack America as well as the Saudis. Also, we have a huge trade relationship with the Saudis. They buy billions and billions of dollars of American goods and services. They also occupy a very important geographical position. You can't project force in the Middle East without overflying Saudi Arabia, which requires their permission.
Right.
We have a huge naval base in Bahrain, which the Saudis support and are very comfortable with. We have other assets in the Middle East that require a major ally to help support all of that. And then finally, we have a relationship with the Sunni Muslim world that requires some credibility. The Saudis have the most credibility, being the home of the two holy mosques in Mecca and Medina. And we need that kind of relationship in order to, again, promote American interests in that part of the world. I haven't even mentioned oil, even though America is becoming independent in terms of energy. Now, the rest of the world is not. And the rest of the world buys American goods and services. And if they can't afford to because their price of oil has gone through the roof, then that hurts America's national interests as well.
Yeah, so well said. Pick up the book, Desert Diplomat. More information, of course, they're taking you step by step. Great stuff. Former U.S. Ambassador Robert Jordan, thanks for spending some time with us on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
About this, who's the most iconic dead person either you identify with or someone that you know just lives on and on and on and is talked about so often? And I have a list of them that I compiled the last couple of weeks, and there's some obvious people that would be on this list, like Princess Diana. Constantly hearing about Princess Diana. James Dean, I lived in California, and I saw where he crashed actually his spider Porsche, and everybody talked about James Dean in California like he was the Pope of the Golden State. It was crazy. And he still lives on and on. But celebrities are a little bit different. In our virtual green room right now, so pleased to welcome to the show, she's the president of Speak for Yourself, and she is related to somebody that I think might make the list as number one. We'll see what our poll does after the next couple of days. Karen Cortell Reisman. Karen, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
You bet. Pleased to be here.
So first of all, do you like the virtual green room? We spare no expense. We had that expensive champagne that you demanded. We put it in, just like Madonna, we put it in there for you. Had that nice fruit, that gift basket. You like it?
The martinis are especially great. And I love those three robust olives.
I love people who play along. You're fabulous. All right, so tell the world, everybody listening in the nooks and crannies, our friends in Sarasota, Florida, in New York City listening right now, who are you related to that's so iconic I can't even believe it?
Albert Einstein, that man with the wild and crazy hair.
And how are you related to Einstein?
Kate, he is related to me on my father's side. My grandmother and Einstein were cousins. They were also lifelong friends and gossip buddies. They had a mutual respect for each other. Both had a great sense of humor, and that's a legacy that I carry forward with those people.
I love that sense of humor, because everything you read about Einstein, and there's so much that's been written about him, and we think of the brilliance, and we think of, you know, so many quotes. Everybody has an Einstein quote. But you know the inside scoop. I love it. They were gossip buddies. So give us a story that only maybe you would know that's been handed down, that's part of the family lore about Albert Einstein.
He was a nice man, and he cared deeply for people, for humanity. He adored my grandmother, and hence when my father and mother met each other and they got married, the first relative my mother met on my father's side was Einstein. And the story that no one knows is that my father, a very quiet European intellectual, lectured to my loud and outgoing German version of Lucille Ball mom. He said, don't talk too much when you meet Einstein. He might get perturbed and just exit and go back to his work. But he did not. My mother was nervous to meet him, but he shuffled over to her and he put his hand on her shoulder and he said, Anne, I want you to relax. I'm a normal human being. I like to go to the bathroom every day, just like everybody else.
Oh, that's great. Oh, how smart of him to break the ice, because it would, you know what, it would be intimidating, let alone with your father saying that, but it would be intimidating meeting Einstein with everything even then that was out there about him. I mean, now it's crazy. But even when he was alive, there would be, I think, a little bit of an intimidation factor about him.
Hey. This was already towards the end of his life. He was already very, very famous, and he won the Nobel Prize. His years of genius were before that, and he was an icon before his death. And so this really was nerve-wracking, and he put my mother at ease, and they had a fabulous time on that first time that she had the chance to meet him.
Very, very cool. I mean, I think really he's got to be number one or two on most people's lists. I'm going to give out the phone number, Karen, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or shoot me an email at americatonight.net. I want to see what the lists look like for all of you listening as to who is the most iconic dead person. You also wrote a book about Einstein, or Letters from Einstein. Explain that to us.
It's actually an inspirational keynote message, which uses personal correspondence between Einstein and my family in a message about hope, resilience, and braziers.
Now, you can't just hang that out there. Braziers. Come on, you got to explain the braziers comment.
Yes, I usually do. I have to say, you have to just listen and hear it to understand it, but I will share with you and our listeners that it's a story really of all three of them, how my mother, my father, and Einstein overcame great obstacles. And my father came from great wealth in Europe, lost all his money, and hoisted himself back to solvency in the United States, because he was born and raised in Europe, and came actually to the United States at the same time that Einstein did. But he hoisted himself back to solvency by becoming a salesperson, a traveling salesperson for bras and girdles. Girdles, Freeze banks. And so braziers, he was the most unlikely, atypical salesperson you would ever want to hope to meet, was my father, with this thick European accent, running around the country with his suitcase of 34 bees, which is still sample size, Kate, believe it or not.
I love that. And you said this. You said he was an intellectual. So can you imagine what it would be like while he was pitching people? And he must have been good at it.
He created long-term relationships, which is what we all need to do, no matter what era we are in. And just like in the last decade, we've all, many listeners and all of us have had to reinvent in some way, this man definitely reinvented. So he overcame the loss of his fortune. My mother actually overcame the Holocaust. And Einstein overcame the consequences of his own discoveries. And on that day that they all three were together, really my mother was more helpful to Einstein than he was to her, coming from the background that she had come from. And he still suffered from, had angst over what he had created.
Sure. And then, of course, people and how they were around him. I mean, strangers when they would meet him. I mean, now we live in this crazy culture of you get your 15 minutes plus and you just tweet the right thing or whatever. You know, and I know there's different levels of somebody being famous for different reasons, but can you imagine walking in his shoes what it was like when people would just encounter him? Because we didn't have those cell phones and people weren't taking pictures, but everywhere he went, as you said, it is crazy hair and he was so recognizable that it had to be kind of, there had to be some anxiety, I would think, to that for him, because wasn't he kind of a private guy? Wasn't he a private guy a little bit?
Yeah. Very much so. He all he wanted to do was retreat to his study and continue to do his work. And that was his primary goal. But one of the most iconic photos of him is of him sticking his tongue out at photographers as he's driving in a car. And can you image that in your head, that picture of Einstein with his tongue sticking out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, haven't we? We've seen that, haven't we?
We certainly have. We certainly have.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Crazy. Your stories are just so wonderful. So if people want to get a copy of your book, where can they get it? Is it on Amazon?
I am on Amazon. I also speak about how to speak for yourself, so I have communication books at Amazon. My website, speakforyourself.com, would be a great place to go as well.
All right, speakforyourself.com. All right, you got to give us one quick tip. So maybe we're like Einstein and we have a little anxiety, but Karen, you know this, that eventually at some point in your life you have to do a pitch, you have to give a little bit of a speech, whether it's just a proposal of marriage or much bigger than that in a different sense. Give us your best tip for being authentic, relaxing, and just putting it out there.
Easy. It's exactly what Einstein said to me that day, or said to my mother that day. He said, relax and be yourself. And what I tell all of my clients and associations is that you have to be yourself. You can be a little larger than life, but you need to be who you are on purpose. But let's go with what Einstein said. Relax and be yourself.
I love it. Relax and be yourself. Perfect way to end this. Karen Cortell Reisman, president of Speak for Yourself, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. And I vote for Einstein, by the way, as number one on my list. He jumped over Princess Diana for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.